Chapter 27. There was a long, startled silence, during which the evening gloom outside seemed to darken appreciably and gather the room into its grip. A trick of the light wreathed Reg in shadows. Dirk was, for one of the few times in a life of exuberantly prolific loquacity, wordless. His eyes shone with a child's wonder as they passed anew over the dull and shabby furniture of the room, the panelled walls, the threadbare carpets. His hands were trembling. Richard frowned faintly to himself for a moment, as if he was trying to work out the square root of something in his head, and then looked back directly at Reg. "Who are you?" he asked. "I have absolutely no idea," said Reg brightly. "Much of my memory's gone completely. I am very old, you see, startlingly old. Yes, I think if I were to tell you how old I was, it would be fair to say that you would be startled. Odds are that so would I, because I can't remember. I've seen an awful lot, you know. Forgotten most of it, thank God. Trouble is, when you start getting to my age, which, as I think I mentioned earlier, is a somewhat startling one, did I say that? Yes, you did mention it. Good, I'd forgotten whether I had or not. The thing is that your memory doesn't actually get any bigger, and a lot of stuff just falls out. You see, the major difference between someone of my age and someone of yours is not how much I know, but how much I've forgotten. And after a while you even forgot what it is you've forgotten, and after that you even forgot that there was something to remember. Then you tend to forget what it was you were talking about." He stared helplessly at the teapot. "Things you remember," prompted Richard gently. "Smells and earrings." "I beg your pardon?" "Those are the things that linger for some reason," said Reg, shaking his head in a puzzled way. He sat down suddenly. "The earrings that Queen Victoria wore on her silver jubilee, quite startling objects, toned down in the pictures of the period, of course. The smell of the streets before there were cars in them. Hard to say which was worse. That's why Cleopatra remains so vividly in the memory, of course. Quite a devastating combination of earrings and smell. I think that will probably be the last thing that remains when all else has finally fled. I shall sit alone in a darkened room. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans everything but a little grey old head, and in that little grey old head a peculiar vision of hideous blue and gold dangly things flashing in the light, and the smell of sweat, cat food, and death. I wonder what I shall make of it." Dirk was scarcely breathing as he began to move slowly round the room, gently brushing his fingertips over the walls, the sofa, the table. "How long," he said, "has this been?" "Here," said Reg, "just about 200 years, ever since I retired." "Retired from what?" "Search me. Must have been something pretty good, though. What do you think?" "You mean you've been in the same set of rooms here for 200 years? Murmured Richard. "You'd think someone would notice, or think it was odd." "That's one of the delights of the older Cambridge colleges," said Reg. "Everyone is so discreet. If we all went around mentioning what was odd about each other, we'd be here till Christmas. Sflad, Dirk, my dear fellow, please don't touch that just at the moment." Dirk's hand was reaching out to touch the abacus standing on its own on the only clear spot on the big table. "What is it?" said Dirk sharply. "It's just what it looks like, an old wooden abacus," said Reg. "I'll show you in a moment, but first I must congratulate you on your powers of perception. May I ask you how you arrived at the solution?"